Hello, America, and to all of our fans around the world. You're listening to yet another episode of a much belated Let's Weekend. I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and joining me as always is Filippo D'Onofrio and Chris Sologi.
Hey guys.
Hello.
Go.
So yeah, we are actually recording this one on Saturday instead of Friday. Nothing really major, just time and nature kind of got in the way.
Yeah, pretty much.
So obviously we're all kind of in the middle of sort of dealing with the holidays. It may not be Christmas just yet, but we've all got shit that we got to prepare for.
Yes.
I, for one, have been helping my helped my grandmother get her stuff together. I may have mentioned this before. She's got, bone spurs and stuff like that, so she can't move quite as well as she did before, and also the arthritis. So my grandma is the type of person who goes all out for Christmas decorating.
Yeah.
But obviously she promised she wouldn't do as much this year.
Yeah.
And doesn't really matter because even halfway for her is still what the fuck for the rest of us.
She does the whole thing, the Santa display on the lawn.
Well, outside stuff isn't really the problem because she doesn't do all that much outside stuff. It's inside.
Oh.
Yeah, like Christmas china, and of course there's the Christmas tree. Stuff that she puts on the mantle. And the thing is, not only is some of that stuff really heavy, it's also really, really old.
Yeah.
Some of this stuff is from before I was even born.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's like, yeah, let's not drop that. That would be bad.
Yeah, and of course, I haven't really had to do much here around the house. This is my mom takes care of that, but I did have to take out the garbage today. And I don't know if I've probably mentioned this before. We don't have a garbage man here. I have to actually load it up on a trailer, take the trailer to my truck, to a truck, and then haul the whole thing down to the dump and empty it out by hand myself.
Oh,
So
joy.
yeah, and I had to make three trips. So
Jeez.
you would be surprised how much garbage a family of three can produce
Yeah.
in a few weeks. But anyway, so I guess we'll go ahead as usual. Phil, what have you been doing this week?
Well, I've been fixing the Smashpad server because,
Yeah, our website went down for a little bit.
yeah, Thursday. Yeah, we got DOS'd. I don't know why. Maybe somebody didn't like the last episode of Let's Weekend, but
Maybe we
yeah.
said, I don't know. Maybe we said something. What did we do? What did we even do last episode of Let's Weekend?
I don't even know. It's like,
Maybe we said something. I said something. Maybe I said Trump was an asshole.
Yeah. How
I
would that be
don't.
new?
Yeah, I don't.
So we got basically denial of service, and yeah, it took me a little while to figure out how I was supposed to deal with that, and wasn't able to do it Thursday night. Worked on it for a little while, and then by, it was nearly midnight, so I was like, I gotta give up here. So went to bed, didn't really get any sleep because I was thinking about the damn server all night. Which kind of contributed to us not having a show yesterday. So yeah. But Friday I got it with a clear head. I got up, figured it out, and we're back up and running, and now we're here recording a show. So that's
Fantastic.
pretty cool. Other than that, I've been watching The Grand Tour, which continues to get even more and more ridiculous as the season goes on, and that's not a bad thing. Yeah, so that's, something fun to watch. Oh yeah, been listening to a lot of music lately, so I've been trying to figure out what the five best albums that I've listened to all year are. I think I don't know. That'll be something maybe we'll talk about next week if we can, if you guys all
I already
want
know what a couple of them are going to be, so.
to. Yeah. So there's two, yeah, two of them you probably already kind of know. The other three might be surprised. Stay tuned for that. And other than that, well, I've been doing a little bit of miscellaneous gaming, some Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3. I still suck at it. Tried to play the PC port of Garou: Mark of the Wolves, and
Yeah, you said something about how you could only see like a quarter of the screen.
Yeah, I don't know how they managed to screw that up, but yeah, what it does is it takes into consideration the text scaling in Windows, and then blows the window up by that much. Yeah, so regardless of what resolution you have it in, your image is blown up by the factor of your text scaling, which means, yeah, it doesn't fit on the screen, guys. So, yeah, it makes it kind of hard to play when you can only see like a quarter of the damn screen. So, yeah,
Yeah.
hopefully they'll be doing a patch for that and other issues that have been reported. But yeah, because I can't really review a game I can't actually play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just gotta get better.
Yeah, you gotta play the game without being able to see your character or the opponents for that matter,
Yeah.
because the quarter of the screen I can see is the upper right.
Just make sure you have some good headphones on.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that's been my strangeness. The what's really screwed up about it is if you take a screenshot in Steam, the screenshots are the right size. It's just the game
Yeah.
displays improperly.
So
So,
it's like some rendering issue.
yeah. So yeah, congrats, .mu. Well, I guess that shouldn't really surprise me too much. These guys have a history of doing some really stupid things. So yeah. So that's been my week. Kind of eventful here and there, a little stressful, but hey, it's over now. Chill out. So there.
All right. Well, all right. And Chris, what about you?
So yeah, this week I've been watching a bunch of stuff. So I watched some of my Black Friday movies, Batman versus Superman, the extended edition.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That is over 3 hours long. And it feels like a movie. It's like, oh God, what's all the good footage we have? We gotta put it in here. It's 3 hours fucking long. It's like 2 hour and a half movies. So one, it's like the heavy-handed setup, as you see Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent just brooding at the other's alter ego,
Yeah.
sort of, oh, what's up with this god that doesn't have to live by any of our rules, and what's up with this vigilante who gets to be judge, jury, and executioner? And they realize it's all a bunch of bullshit, and they should fight actual evil. So, like, the first half of the movie is just kind of boring and stupid. The second half is actually where it starts picking up, actually going places instead of just running around in circles constantly until Lex Luthor is ready to put his plans into action. And yeah, so basically, the point where Lex Luthor is doing something in the Kryptonian ship that I guess Zod and his people came in with, and ends up creating, I forget what the Superman villain is in that movie. It begins with a D. That's not Darkseid. I don't know. Yeah, that thing ends up rampaging F and causes Batman and Superman to stop fighting, especially when they realize they both have their moms had the same first name. That's what gets them to stop, is like Superman talking about his mom Martha. He's like, "Who? Martha, who told you that name?" And it's like, what the
Sir.
hell is this? Yeah, Wonder Woman comes into the picture, and that part's pretty cool. Gal Gadot is a pretty cool choice for that. And they hint at The Flash and Aquaman as well, and they don't appear,
Yeah.
but obviously they'll be in the Justice League movie.
Yeah.
So it ends on a good note, but to get three to spend 3 hours getting to that point is not great.
Yeah.
I'm really interested in actually watching the theatrical edition, see what the hell they cut out that caused them to actually make the extended edition.
Yeah, that's about
Because
half an hour or so shorter.
think it's like about 2 hours or so.
Hmm.
And I also watched The Wolverine, which is actually really cool. So that is the second Wolverine focused movie,
Yeah.
which he is kind of just living in the woods. I don't know where at, like the Northwest, Pacific Northwest. And somehow a Japanese woman that works for a big tech billionaire mogul in Japan, who you find out at the very beginning was one of the officers running a POW camp that Logan was captured at, sort of held prisoner there, and he saved the officer's life as the nukes were dropping. Because his prison was like a big, at the bottom of like a big well. So yeah, he's on his deathbed, sends for Logan just to say goodbye and all that. Ends up tricking him into trying to get his healing factor so he could keep living.
Yeah.
And it just goes crazy from there. Wolverine loses his healing for a while. Gets stolen by, I don't know what her name was. It's this woman that was kind of a cobra snake or something like that. She has like the forked tongue and poisons people, all that sort of stuff with her breath. It's really cool, especially seeing him in a new sort of location in Japan, sort of taking care of the mogul's daughter, who is like the new heir. But her, f or I guess this is granddaughter, and her father wants her out of the picture so he can get control of the company. I don't know, it's real weird on that front, but it's pretty cool. Is at least a big improvement upon Origins.
Yeah.
And but yeah, he spends a lot of that movie sort of haunted by Jean Grey's death. So he's trying to get over that, and I think he does by the end of the movie. I don't know what the imagine they're working on a third. I don't
Yeah.
know if we've seen anything about that yet, but yeah, that's pretty good. Also been watching some of the Netflix exclusive stuff with Fuller House season 2, which surprisingly came out real quick.
Yeah.
So I think that first season came out earlier this year.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's more of the same. It's cheesy, corny comedy about white people in San Francisco. And they do more references. It seems like a lot of product placement in this one. Not so much that there's actual products in the show, but they talk about stuff a lot. Like they make references to, oh, wouldn't it be awesome if there was a service that offered you TV without commercials, that you could pay a small price per month? It's like, okay, you're shilling for the people paying for your show. Okay, whatever.
Gotta make
But
money
they
somehow.
do it a number of times, for various things. And it's just a bit of a weird thing, but yeah, they bring back the old people for a couple different things. They have like a Thanksgiving episode where they bring them all back, and a New Year's episode. So it's still pretty good. There's some really cool moments in that. There's a weird bit with the new kids on the block.
Oh, dear.
It's still weird that they go around calling themselves that, even though they're probably in their 40s by now.
Yeah.
It's just
Well, in their defense, the new kids were popular when the original Full House was, so.
So that's a pretty cool show. The other one I watched is White Rabbit Project, which is helmed by the former MythBusters build team. Grant, Carrie, and Tori. And I watched the first two episodes of that, and that's an interesting show. It's not MythBusters where they're building stuff for the whole show. It seems like they come in with each show with a theme, and the first one is superpowers. So they're trying to figure out ways to get to recreate superpowers. And they do pick like six of them, like lightning coming out of your hands, invincibility. What else? Like a freeze ray, whatever. That sort of stuff. They come up with six of them. Sort of investigates what goes into doing that if you're trying to do it with modern materials, technology, all that. And they end up by the end sort of rating what's the most feasible stuff we could do right now. And they do some build stuff. Grant builds a freeze cannon of sorts. Try to do that whole thing. Carrie uses some interesting stuff for mind control. Basically has dinner with Tori and is basically fucking with him the whole time, just because they got attached to his arms, and so he's trying to eat pizza and she's making him drop it or drink wine or eat spaghetti. And it's just making a mess out of him, just laughing the whole time. That one ends up being like the most successful thing because it actually works pretty well, but obviously you're not going to be able to
Not exactly covert.
attach electrodes and such to another person to do it, but it's something that you definitely can do, and it works right now. The second episode is about prison escapes, and they go over like six unique and notorious prison escapes. Like one's about the most successful prison break from World War II, where about like 130 some French soldiers escaped from a Nazi camp. There's one that involved hot balloons, one involved a helicopter, and some others. The only one they actually go to try to reproduce is the hot balloon one. And they sort of have certain like factors, like how many people got out, how long were they out. Sort of what the cost of what they did, that sort of stuff. And it's an interesting show. I think it's just 10 episodes, but it's something that has a bit of the MythBuster stuff to it, but it doesn't go all the way. And especially what was cool about MythBusters was sort of the behind the scenes stuff, seeing how they built that stuff and how they worked through the problems that came up and all that stuff.
Well, this
So
is just first season, so
yeah.
first season of MythBusters, and as they went on, got very different, so.
Yeah, definitely. This is off to a pretty good start so far. It's like a little bit History Channel, a little bit MythBusters. So that's a cool show they got there. And as far as games, I finally beat Trails in the Sky.
Oh yeah.
And that ending was interesting because it's the boss fight's like four fights, pretty much. It wasn't that hard, I guess, just from going through the dungeon so much. I leveled up enough; it wasn't too hard. The one against the actual robot at the end, He spawns a lot of fodder to fight for him. I fucked around with them too much early on. That screwed me over the first time. Second time, I was actually doing really well, and then he gets a string of, oh, it's his turn, and then his turn, and then his turn, and then his turn again.
It's like, God damn it.
That just killed me that way.
Oh,
It's like,
yeah.
I get like less than 1,000 health, so I was like, I just need the attacks. Just give me them. No, you're taking it away. But after that, I just beat the shit out of him. Just focus straight on him, because Joshua's attack is special is great, because it basically does a huge attack on everybody on the field, so you can take out all that fodder real easily. That sort of stuff. So, yeah, that wasn't too hard. But after that, it's kind of actually hard to get to the ending, because it just drops you back in Brencell, and it's like, okay, wait, what do I have to do now? You have to go talk to everybody. Like, where is everybody at? Go like to every single building. It's like, okay, there's those people and there's these people, and I think I found everybody. There's like one person left. It's like, oh, that guy's happens to be the one that has the final quest. And then, but you have to talk to him twice to initiate it. So it's like, so I ended up looking it up on Game Factors to make sure I knew what the hell I was doing. It's like, there's something else going on here. They're gonna say, oh, we need you to go fight these guys now. No, it's just talk to this guy and you're done. It's like, okay. And yeah, not really surprised by the twist they have at the end. That things aren't as they seem. And then so yeah, I'm looking forward to trying to get a second chapter at some point. I know Sony has holiday sales going on for the rest of the month, so I'm hoping the Falcom stuff is on sale one of those weeks, and I'll pick it up and start playing that. And along with that, I've been playing some more PlayStation VR stuff. I tried out the Star Wars Battlefront colon Rogue Wing X-Wing or Rogue One X-Wing VR mission. And I'll have a video going up probably tonight. That's a really cool mission. It's not too much different than what the Call of Duty VR thing was, where it's sort of one space combat thing, except there's definitely a lot more production value put into the Star Wars mission, and there's a lot more story and all that to it. Whereas the Call of Duty thing is like, yeah, we got you out here in space. Oh, there's people attacking us. Take them out. And that's it. It's over in 5 minutes. This one's like 15 minutes or so. You start off as like the rookie on this group of X-Wing fighters who get called in to help out this B-Wing and escort them out. And along the way, a Star Destroyer warps in, and you have to fight a bunch of TIE fighters, and it's just a lot of fun to play. One of the cool things is you can actually just look at the buttons in the X-Wing cockpit and push them, so you can pull out the like the missile guide that Luke uses. You can just pop that out. It's not on a controller button, but you can just pull it out. It just doesn't work, but it's a really cool thing. It's like to see that pop out. You can also like open up the wings, because you can just have them closed while you're just flying around, or you can pull them out actually when you're going to shoot. Because when that mission also takes place in sort of an asteroid belt, so there's a lot of asteroids around that you can shoot the smaller ones. As you're sort of escorting this B-wing around, and yeah, it's really cool. It plays well. Definitely looks better than a Call of Duty mission, so it's not quite as nausea-inducing as that one was, where it's just kind of weird. And you'll notice in the video that as I'm talking, there's like echoing going on as the microphone picks you up talking.
Mm.
Even though you're in like this weird white matrix void
Mm.
with an X-wing and a some sort of like R2 unit that is driving around. But it's like a it does sort of like the Forza Vista thing,
Yeah.
where you can sort of warp around to different spots and sort of look at the X-wing and just say, "Oh, that's pretty."
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. The other game I played was Sports Bar VR,
Yeah, I saw you
just
playing
from the
that earlier
Pool
this week.
Nation people. And I played about 30 minutes of that, and that game's pretty cool. It's a mostly social sandbox game, sort of like Rec Room,
Yeah.
that sort of thing. You're in this sports bar, surprise. But you can go around and sort of play a variety of sort of bar games. There's pool, there's air hockey, there's darts, there's skee ball. There's chess and checkers. There's one other game. I have no idea what it was. But you can sort of teleport around, which is the first PlayStation VR game I've seen that you can actually teleport instead of just walking around or whatever. The controls on some of that's not great. The pool, I couldn't get it to work that well. This was also because of the nature of that. What the game is, I was spinning around a lot. So I repeatedly was pulling up my headset and realized I was looking off 90 degrees to my left or right or looking behind me. So I was like reorienting myself and sort of using the controls to sort of move the camera so I can get it back to where I was, so I
Supposed to
can
be.
look forward and actually be looking at the thing. Skee ball was a little bit weird. It controls okay, but there were times where it seemed like I was trying to do a slower motion and the ball was just flying off of my hand. It's like this is not an easy game to
Yeah.
play anyway, but when the ball when you can't control the speed, it
Yeah.
makes it even harder. I was also trying to just throw the ball in the holes just trying to see what I could do with that.
That didn't work.
Worked okay sometimes, but other times, just because of the way the it was just not the ball wasn't moving as realistically as it should, it
Yeah.
would just go flying off into the room. And there are people around. I guess I was playing like an offline version. There are people that are just standing around, not doing anything, and they don't react to anything that happens. So I went behind the bar and I was picking up like ice buckets and dumping them on the bartenders' heads, or taking bottles, dropping them as they break, and then threatening the bartenders with a broken bottle. It's like fun little stuff like that you can do. There are toys you can spawn in the menu, so I picked up a like a ping pong ball shooter gun. I was just shooting it all around the room, shooting at people. It's like, what are you gonna do about it? What are you gonna do about it? Shooting at bottles that were hanging out in the rooms, like there's physics on that sort of stuff. Yeah, that game has an online mode, so I'm looking forward to seeing what that is all about. When I do a video, I'm probably gonna do a lot of stuff offline, but then hop online to see what's going on there.
Yeah.
See if anybody's actually on too. That's on sale for $10
Yeah.
for this week. I also picked up Headlander. That went on sale for $15. It's only 25% off, but that was one of the games I definitely want to check out. I played the demo of that a little while ago. That game's pretty cool. It's you're in an internment camp, soccer internment camp, that your team sends you to. I guess because you suck so much, they send you to an internment camp. And
Headmaster, sorry.
yeah, headmaster. And they basically just have you do lots of drills, and it involves heading the ball,
Yep.
trying to hit into the goal. And they have like various different methods of like scoring. Like some of them are like, oh, we got a stack of boxes here, and you can try and knock them over or hit the specific like circle that's a bomb They don't just blow them all away and just try and get high scores and all that sort of stuff. Has like a little bit of a Portal aspect to it, the story that's going on at the same time. And there's like the narrator dude that's talking to you and it's like arguing with his buddy that's screwing around with him, all that sort of stuff. And that seems like it's going to be a pretty cool game. And I'm looking forward to playing more of that too. And yeah, I've got a PSVR backlog of like 30 games.
Jeez.
And yeah, so definitely got plenty to play of that. And that's been mostly it for this week. So how about you, Brandon?
Well, last night I finished Cold Steel 2.
Yeah, at 3:30 in the morning.
Yep. Really, all I can say is, God damn it, Cold Steel, stop making me feel things.
And now you're stuck until Cold Steel 3 comes out.
Yeah, I will not lie, it does get kind of emotional at the end. Because, the year is over. Class 7 has to all move on.
Yeah.
And they all go off, do their own thing, and you, Reen, your main character, is still, at Thor's Academy, so he can, start his second year.
Yeah.
Even your love interest has to go.
Hmm.
So yes, it's a little emotional at the end,
Yeah.
but I did sort of more or less have gotten an idea if what they did towards the end of Cold Steel 1 is any indication. I think I've already kind of gotten an idea of what Cold Steel 3 is going to entail.
Okay.
So for one thing, for those who don't know, Cold Steel 3, Falcom already announced it months ago. For those who don't know, and we've already gotten like some character design snippets. We already know what Reen and Elisa's character designs are.
Yeah.
Reen's got this big white trench coat thing that he wears, and Elisa seems to be wearing a bustier with a zipper
Okay.
because Japan. I'm guessing there's something of a time skip between the two games. Because they both look a little older. Either that or Elisa got a boob job at some point.
Yeah.
It's always possible.
Because
It is
Japan.
Japan.
Yeah. So if what I think is probably going to be entailing at this point is one thing I do know that's if again, if what they did with Cold Steel 1 is any indication, what's probably going to happen in Cold Steel 3 is a good chunk of the game is probably going to take place in Crossbell. And specifically, you're going to part two of the people in your party are going to be Lloyd and Xenia Mao from Trails of Zero
Yeah.
and Trails of Azure. Because there's a whole part towards the end of the game where you actually play those two characters in a dungeon in Crossbell.
Yeah.
There has been talk from the guy in charge of the Trail series if he's thinking of making this game a PS4 exclusive. Which, if they do that, that could cause some problems.
For
If you're trying to carry over stuff from your Cold Steels 1 and 2 playthroughs.
yeah,
I don't know.
no, I'm
They'll
sure that
figure
they'll
something.
figure
Yeah, they'll figure something out, I guess.
it out. Yeah, those only
Um,
on PS3 as far as consoles are concerned.
one and two,
yeah, both of those games, yeah, they're on. Well, they are also on PSP, but
yeah.
unfortunately, these aren't, neither one of these games are as extremely time-consuming as Trails in the Sky and Trails in the Sky SC. So,
Yeah, I finished Trails in the Sky at like about 75 hours.
yeah. These are more around 50, 60.
Yeah.
Okay.
They do operate a lot like they do operate a lot like the Trails in the Sky, in that, there's like a thing of requests you got to do. Well, at least the first one does this. There's like things requests you got to do, and then there's like plot and
Is it
stuff like
regimented like Trails where it's like, oh, we're in this area for this chapter, we're going to this
that.
other
The
part?
first one does. The first one does just sort of it can give you an idea of the area. The second one, after you actually okay, the second one after you get the Courageous, which is the airship, it then opens up and becomes freeform.
Okay, so
So,
it takes 4 games for it to open up.
yeah, pretty much. Well, keep in mind, Trails of Cold Steel takes place in a completely different region.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I did that, and wanting Falcom to hurry up and finish Cold Steel 3, which they're a pretty good ways in already. So the only I'm just hoping that XE Games can do the localization, and unfortunately, that also means that they're gonna have to do. They still need to do the localization for Zero and Azure. So, and Trails in the Sky 3,
Trails the third,
which is supposed to come out this year
yeah.
at some point.
You think they would have done that before they
Well,
go to
Trails of
Code
Sky Net,
Steel?
I said this year, probably early next year. But yeah, well, no, because Trails the Third is actually a midquel. Yeah, there's a character in Trails in the Sky SC that you meet, a guy who's a priest of the Eidos Church. He's this green-haired dude. He's the main character of Trails the Third. So, but yeah, so got all that done.
So anime, basically. Let's create these different series, essentially, and they all intersect.
And so after that, I started up The Last Guardian this afternoon.
Has it finished
If it,
installing yet?
yeah, I had to wait to finish it installing first. So I'll have more about that when, it's finished installing.
Because PlayStation games.
Yeah. All right. So other than that, I've been doing my usual lots of reading. I found out that the first volume of Bakemonogatari, the hit series by Nisio Eisen, the first volume is going to be published on the 20th of this month in English by Vertical. So I am heavily anticipating that because I read a Kizumonogatari that they published earlier. I think it was was it last year? Yeah, last year, and really enjoyed that. So, I'm glad that, light novels are really kind of becoming a thing now over here. They're slowly but surely sort of trickling out over here, and I'm glad because there's a lot of these great series that if there's a lot of these great series that up until this point I've had to basically rely on like fan translation groups to get them. By the way, just for those who are curious, go to www.novelupdates.com and you'll go there and there's a bunch of fan translated light novels on there if you ever get a chance. Some great stuff. They even have the rest of the original Slayers novels translated. Those of you who don't know, the first I think it was eight was it first eight or nine of them were released by Tokyopop back in the early aughts. I know because I have a few of them. But yeah, also, let's see. Other than that, I've been watching more anime. I've been watching this really odd anime called Horizon in the Middle of Nowhere. It's good, but the thing is, it's one sort of series based on a series of light novels that happens to be one series in the, of light novels in this very huge sort of fictional universe that the author has created with like a bunch of other series in it.
Yeah.
And the thing is, this series, this these novels, they tend to revolve around some really complicated concepts of like time travel and multiverses and just some really, it's some stuff that can be hard to get your brain to wrap your brain around.
Yeah.
And the last Horizon, the Middle of Nowhere in particular is pretty it kind of info dumps on you in the first episode because the concept that they're trying to get around to trying to get you is not an easy one to say in just a few words.
Yeah.
But basically that's what I've been doing. So has anybody got anything else they want to add?
Nope.
Alrighty then. Well, I guess then once again, it's time for everyone's favorite segment of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And this time, well, I didn't have anything that was like super mind blowing or anything like that, but I figured, eh, what the hell, this is interesting. So, I wanted to ask, did anyone of you guys grow up Roman Catholic?
Nope.
No?
No.
Okay. Well, have you guys ever seen any of those like old illuminated manuscripts or like pictures of old Catholic saints?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever noticed how, and usually, you know, a lot of these saints, you know, they're martyrs.
Yeah.
You know, they died for the faith.
Yeah.
And so usually, you know, a lot of the artwork depicts their martyrdom, you know, how they died.
Right.
And as you probably know, some of them died in fairly gruesome fashion.
Mm-hmm.
But see, here's the thing. If you ever noticed a lot of those old images, especially like medieval era or like, you know, when they were made.
Yeah.
When they're the actual saints, when they're dying, they tend to not look like they really give a damn.
Yeah.
They just have this very plain, uninterested look on their faces.
Like, you're killing me right now and I can't be bothered.
No. Like, oh, hell yeah, you're taking out my eyeballs and flaying me alive.
Yeah.
That's interesting, I guess.
Oh, I'm dying. That's just Tuesday for me.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I actually did not know this until recently. The reason I never thought about this was because I never, back with those old illuminated manuscripts, I always thought maybe they just, you know, because the thing is, with a lot of those old illuminated manuscripts, nobody shows any real facial expressions on them.
Yeah.
Ever.
Hmm.
And I always thought maybe that was because, you know, did they think that just didn't matter? Were they not good enough artists to do that? But then I found out there's a reason why. Back in the medieval era, they were obsessed with this thing called Ars Moriendi, or in Latin, the art of dying well. Obviously, back in the Middle Ages, everybody was fairly preoccupied with the concept of death and the afterlife.
Yeah.
For two reasons. One, because it was almost primarily Christian.
Hmm.
And two, because, well, they lived in the medieval era.
Yeah, and that happened a lot.
Yes, it was. They were fairly aware of the fact that there was a million things that could kill them at any given time.
Mm.
But there was this cultural thing about giving in to what they called the five temptations. The five temptations were disbelief, despair, impatience, pride, and avarice. And they believed that showing any of this at the moment of death could somehow, you know, risk your karma, for lack of a better word, in the afterlife.
Hmm.
You know, if you so much as grimace when someone stabs you to death, oh God, now you're in hell for all eternity. However, if you displayed the quote-unquote calmness of Christ on the cross, that was a one-way ticket to the pearly gates. So, for some examples, here is an image of St. Peter of Verona. For those of you who don't know, St. Peter of Verona was killed by, one, being stabbed in the chest, and two, having a giant meat cleaver taken to his skull. And, hold on. Let me get this, okay, here we go. All right. And as you can see, he can't really be bothered to...
He looks bored.
Yeah. Of course, that could also be because, you know, the two halves of his brain were just separated.
Yeah.
There's probably some internal swelling going on.
Yeah.
Oh, and here's a good one. St. Bartholomew. St. Bartholomew, for those of you who don't know, he was martyred by being flayed alive.
Hmm.
And here he is just sort of modeling his own skin as if it were, you know, the new Louis Vuitton.
Medieval art, wow.
And now to, here's another image. Here's a king being murdered, getting stabbed in the chest with a sword, and he just can't be bothered.
Whatever.
Yeah. And here's a lady who is taking a spike and pounding it into a dude's head with a hammer. And he just doesn't look like he gives a shit.
Mildly annoyed, but not really.
Yeah. So, the thing is, this extended well into, like, the Renaissance era. So, if you ever go to, like, you know, the Vatican or Sicily or Venice or whatever, go to all those old cathedrals with all the artwork inside it, you'll notice they'll have the same images of the saints.
Yeah.
During their martyrdom, and they don't really care all that much.
Yeah.
Michelangelo's, image of the Sistine Chapel, you'll also see an image of Saint Bartholomew, handling his own skin.
Hmm.
Funny enough, the skin that he's handling is actually modeled after Michelangelo. So yeah. Ars Moriendi, The Art of Dying Well. That's the reason why all those old illuminated manuscripts usually involve some dude, if he's dying horribly, to just be really disinterested.
Yeah.
That, ladies and gentlemen, has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid. Now, moving on from there, we got to start, of course, with our asshole of the week. And this time, this week, we had a number of candidates. But there's something about dude being an asshole and a dumbass at the same time.
Hmm.
And we have this one. So this journalist from The Blaze, for those of you who don't know what The Blaze is, that's Glenn Beck's news organization.
Hmm.
Glenn Beck's The Blaze site suspends reporter for endangering other journalists by shooting at ISIS.
Okay.
A Marine veteran turned journalist has been recalled from Iraq after tweeting a picture showing him shooting at ISIS fighters. On Thursday, Jason Buttrill, yes, that's his real name, tweeted a picture of him with a sniper rifle along with the message, "Major bucket list completed. Shoot at ISIS? Check."
Okay.
Buttrill, a Marine veteran, also tweeted that he fired 6 shots at the enemy. "ISIS looks like ants on that scope, but my USMC PMI, that's primary marksmanship instructor, was exceptional." Blaze initially wrote a story extolling Buttrill for taking part in the action, but they issued a statement on Friday that his actions were unacceptable. And this is from their statement. "Jason Buttrill is a valued researcher for Mercury Radio Arts for a television show that airs on the Blaze Network. Given his military and security background, Mr. Buttrill was offered the opportunity for an important research assignment in Iraq. Due to his conduct, Mercury Radio Arts has recalled him back to the U.S. He has been suspended from further field research assignments. Jason Stern of the Committee to Protect Journalists tweeted that Buttrill had put journalists in danger by shooting at ISIS fighters. Jason, journalists are detained and killed all over the world over false accusations of being combatants. This doesn't help, he tweeted on Friday.
So, yeah, I think this is a new one for us. We have our first dumb asshole.
Yeah. Look, don't get me wrong. Shooting at ISIS is a good thing and completely honorable to do. I encourage it. But don't do it while you're in the, you're in the auspices of being a journalist.
Yeah.
Because when you're acting as a journalist, you're not acting as just yourself. You're also acting with all of your fellow journalists as well.
Yeah, especially if they're, you know, they happen to be in proximity of you. Well, mm-hmm. then they may be targets of attack because, well, they're there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, don't be a butt.
Yeah, exactly. Do not be a butt reel. Meme being born? I think so. But yeah, and of course it would be from fucking Glenn Beck's organization. I mean, really, are any of us surprised?
Nope.
Just, goddamn, that's just stupid.
Yeah.
If you want to shoot at ISIS, go join one of the local militias in the area. They would be glad to have you.
Yeah.
You're a fucking former Marine. They would be ecstatic to have someone with your training.
Yeah.
You know, but no, you had to go over there and, fuck this guy.
What's a journalist doing with a sniper rifle anyway? Just...
Yeah. Sounds cool in the movies, but not in real life.
Yeah, leave the shooting to the experts.
Yeah. All right. But... wipe that taste out of our mouth. We've got our heroes of the week. And this time, it's not a person. It's the Weather Channel.
Because when do we ever talk about them?
Yeah. It's funny when you think about it, because the Weather Channel, those guys really kind of are heroes.
Hmm.
I mean, those guys are, you know, when there's like major, storms and shit, they're usually some of the first people reporting on it.
Yeah.
And it's funny because a lot of us kind of take them for granted.
Yeah.
I mean, they're part of the basic cable package. But
one of those channels you don't remember which channel they're on until you need it.
Yeah.
Like, damn it, which channel is that? I can't find it.
All right. But this time, they got really pissed off at the assholes at Breitbart because they misused one of their videos.
Yeah, this is essentially the response to our asshole of the week last week.
Yeah.
Because that's basically the article that this is a response to.
Yeah. Basically what you need to know is there was this stuff, you know, obviously Breitbart, because they're dumbasses, have a thing for denying climate change.
Yeah.
And they tried to use one of the Weather Channel's videos to, well, try and use it to further deny it. Because, again, they're assholes.
Yeah, because there was a slight decrease in temperature on land.
Yeah.
Which is not how you tell global temperature.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. But the Weather Channel didn't just sit back and say nothing. Because they are the Weather Channel. They know, they are very, very aware of, you know, climate change and its effects on weather.
Yeah.
You know, it's part of their jobs. Even if the guy who founded the fucking channel doesn't believe in global warming, because he's a dumbass. Remember, that, just for the record, the guy who founded the Weather Channel is not a meteorologist. Mm. Just for those who don't know, he was just a business magnate.
Yeah.
So his opinion don't mean shit.
And people assume the people that work at the Weather Channel now are not actual scientists or anything like that.
Yeah. You know, just, you know, you have to be a meteorologist to become a weather person.
Yeah.
That's a requirement.
You get actually on the Weather Channel, you have to know your shit even more so.
That is a job requirement. You do need to go to school. It requires it.
And you can't just be Al Roker doing Weather Channel in the morning every day. That's it.
Yeah. So, let's see what it says here. Global warming is not expected to end anytime soon, despite what Breitbart.com wrote in an article published last week. Though we would prefer to focus on our usual coverage of weather and climate science. Oh man, I love it when Weather Channel gets snarky. In this case, we felt it important to add our own two cents, especially because a video clip from weather.com, specifically the one titled La Niña in Pacific Affects Weather in New England, was prominently featured at the top of the Breitbart article. Breitbart had the legal right to use this clip as part of a content sharing agreement with another company, but there should be no assumption that the weather company endorses the article associated with it. The Breitbart article, a prime example of cherry-picking or pulling a single item out of context to build a misleading case, includes this statement. The last 3 years may eventually come to be seen as the final death rattle of the global warming scare. In fact, thousands of researchers and scientific societies are in agreement that greenhouse gases produced by human activity are warming the planet's climate and will keep doing so. Along with its presence on the high-profile Breitbart site, the article drew even more attention after a link to it was retweeted by the U.S. House Committee on Science, Space, and Technology.
Yep, that's what we talked about last week.
Yep.
Exactly. The Breitbart article heavily references a piece that first appeared on the UK's Daily Mail site, Strike One. Here's what both articles went wrong. And then they've got these sort of a thing where they're basically, claims that are made, and then they basically turn around and say, fuck you, you're a dumbass.
Yeah, here's this what is actually what their video's all about. If anybody wants to actually watch that and see the snark in a video format.
And it is beautiful. It is glorious.
I need to check out what the YouTube comments are saying. I just need to see that.
Yeah.
Actually,
I'll keep reading. I'll check out the video.
Yeah.
Comments.
But yeah.
The video on YouTube is called A Message to Breitbart from Weather.com.
Just search for that. You'll find it.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you can go to the link we provided. Just know there's an autoplay warning.
Yeah.
Just just prepare for that.
Oh yeah, this is exactly what you expect.
Mm-hmm. But so remember, guys, the head of Breitbart is now an advisor to our president-elect.
Yay! Oh well.
Yeah. happy day. Well, we got some sad news to report. John Glenn, one of the greatest of American astronauts and one of the first men to walk on the moon, passed away this week at the age of, I think it was 92?
95.
Damn.
And even as of a couple weeks ago, he sent a letter to John Bezos congratulating him on his... the award he won for his company's reusable rockets.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he was still doing shit even as of a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The man was tireless, and, you know, his life didn't begin and end with being an astronaut. He went on, he became a congressman.
Yeah.
He was an actor.
Yeah.
Soldier.
Soldier. If you played Mass Effect 3, you probably heard his voice at the end of the game. Because he's the guy talking to the little kid at the end. Which, that's pretty...
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Despite whatever problems that game had.
Yeah.
So, it's sad, but again, he was 95. What do you expect?
Yeah.
And he didn't really die of old age. He went to the South Pole and then got sick and had to get helicoptered out of there and died in Columbus.
Yeah.
So basically, rather natural causes couldn't kill him. The fucking
South Pole.
It took the fucking South Pole to kill him.
Yeah.
And there was some cool stuff I saw about his wife, who, when they got married, she had a severe stutter. And ended up going to some intensive therapy to get control of that. And basically, like, the first thing she said to him coming back from that was basically that he needs to go pick up his shit off the floor. He never cleaned up after himself. I've been waiting years to tell you to pick up your shit.
You know what my favorite John Glenn quote is?
What's that?
It's like his quote is, "As I'm hurtling through space, I come to the realization that every part of this ship is provided by the lowest bidder."
Yeah, that was a good one.
Also, favorite thing by him, that one time he was caught by video punching the shit out of a lunar hoax guy.
Yeah, that was pretty cool too.
Yeah, so those of you don't know, there are some people who believe that we never went to the moon. Because, of course they do. And so, this is one dude who was trying to make a documentary, and basically he met John Glenn, kind of badmouthed him, and then John Glenn just turned around and just
Kicked him in
sucker
the
punched his ass.
face.
Because he completely 100% deserved it. He was being an asshole. Oh, fuck him.
Here's a good quote. This is as his ship was going through the atmosphere. He said, "Right away, I could see flaming chunks flying by the window, and I thought the heat shield might be falling apart. This was a bad moment, but I knew that if that was really happening, it'd all be over shortly, and there was nothing I could do about it." So he fully understood what was going on.
Well, I mean, these guys were pioneers, dude. They kind of had to, they dotted their I's and crossed their T's before they even thought about stepping on that damn rocket. So,
It's John Glenn.
Are they gonna, do we know what they're gonna, how, what he's, are they gonna bury him, or are they gonna do one of those things where they shoot him into space?
If appropriate.
I imagine he's going to be buried here in Ohio, since that's where he's from. Yeah, because I think he was specifically in the wing of Ohio State University that is named after him. That's where he passed away at. They lived in Columbus, so yep.
So, moving on from there, Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall is a linebacker for the Denver Broncos. And he is one of several players in the NFL who have been following Colin Kaepernick's lead and taking a knee during the national anthem. Or is it Chris Kaepernick? I can't remember.
Colin.
Colin Kaepernick. Okay, I got it right the first time. And then he received a very, very racist letter.
Of course.
Yeah, so,
You want me to read this one? I can read it.
yeah, go ahead,
Censor
because
some of the worst parts. So he circles things and underlines things.
also, this guy
But
apparently isn't all that smart either.
yeah, he writes in all caps and not very well. So there's some parts I'm gonna.
God, this handwriting is worse than mine.
It says, "Hello, Mr. Marshall. How are you? You are a great football player, Mr. Marshall. No, you are not! 2 exclamation points. You are a worthless fucking N-word who is a."
Don't do N-word. Go ahead and say the whole
All right.
thing,
You're a
because
worthless.
you are a worthless fucking nigger. That's what they wrote.
You are a worthless fucking nigger that's underlined, kind of swirled underline? I don't know. Who is a spoiled fucking jigaboo? It looks like 516 to me. Two
Again.
exclamation points. If you are so unhappy with America, turn in
Three
your
O's there.
quote unquote millions. He dots the I here for whatever reason. And move back to the jungle that's circled. You fucking gorilla slash monkey.
Okay, I gotta laugh at that one. Because
He
I'm
couldn't
pretty
figure out what he
sure.
wanted to call him.
Yeah.
Are gorillas apes?
They're all primates, so.
I know there's apes and monkeys.
There is like a sort of a small division between the
Like
two. But anyway,
chimpanzees
he
and
got his point
monkeys.
across.
I don't know. We underline hate, you underline and your quote unquote kind of niggers underlined. Two exclamation points. He likes his two exclamation points. You black fucking porch monkey, your name should be Sasebo.
I
He
think he
circles
was trying
Sasebo.
to put Sambo, but couldn't remember how it
Okay.
was supposed to be spelled.
There's a period after that sentence, so he's not sure about that sentence. Your time is coming, comma, watch out, nigger. Circled, two exclamation points. Go back to Africa, you quote unquote mud puppet. I never heard that one used. Double
Yeah, that's
underlined.
a new one. I'm from Georgia, and that's a new one to me.
Now there's a second page. You give a bad name, double underline or underline circle, I don't know what. To good black folk by your jigaboo actions. Circles jigaboo. I don't know what that sentence is about. He's trying to say there's good black people and he hates this one.
Yeah,
We.
that's that whole no, I'm not racist.
That's the true Scotsman false thing. We are quote unquote channeling, that's underlined as well, a circled devastating hard hit for you, two exclamation points. Something to mar you? Make?
Make you.
Okay, I guess that's okay. I was trying to figure that out before when I was reading. I was like, what the hell is he trying to say? I'm gonna make you an invalid in a wheelchair, two exclamation points. Then he fucks up Haas, because it's
Yeah, he does the Joker thing.
H-A-H-A, ha-ha-ha, and there's another H, doesn't have an A after it.
Yeah, he does the whole Joker thing and
Yeah. Then he circles this whole phrase here, watch out, niggas, it's a-coming.
Yep.
One
So
exclamation point.
racist, stupid, and apparently unhinged as well.
And illiterate.
Yeah, and illiterate. Wow.
There's lots of stuff here that doesn't make sense. I
I
understand
would
what
be
he's
much
saying.
angry. I would probably be angrier if it wasn't for the fact that, God damn, this guy's an idiot.
Yeah, well, this guy's an idiot, but, well, gotta give it to him for doing a handwritten letter.
Yeah, they don't do those much anymore.
No.
And if you keep reading down, somebody actually wrote him a positive letter.
Yeah, he and it's actually well written and has good penmanship.
And a
And is
nice NLP
readable.
quote at the end.
It is actually legible.
Yeah. It's like you thought about it before you wrote it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Just, yeah, there's all kinds of people in the world.
And in
Some of them voted
similar
for Donald
news,
Trump.
there's a fullback for the New York Giants, Nikita Whitlock, whose home was broken into on Wednesday, and the intruders spray painted hateful messages on his walls. Let's see, slurs, swastikas, in the name of the president-elect.
Of course.
KKK, go back to Africa, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is just the beginning.
Yeah, so not even NFL players, athletes
Yeah.
can get away from this stuff.
No.
Nope. By the way, just for everybody to remember, the Electoral College finally cast their ballots on the 19th.
Yeah.
So, that's the last wall of defense. If he gets it there, that's it. He's officially our president.
Yeah.
For the record, there are already some Republican electors who said that they're not going to be voting for him. On the downside, a lot of them have said that they wanted to cast their vote for another Republican candidate. Yeah.
Leftist white
Someone
guys.
like John Kasich or.
No. Well.
Here's the thing. John Kasich only appears to be slightly sane compared to the rest of the Republican clown car. Because in reality, he is your classic hardcore Christian conservative.
Yeah.
He's just
And
slightly, he's just amicable, intelligent, and can actually, string a sentence together.
Yeah, and just this past week, the Ohio Senate passed a bill, a heartbeat bill, blocking abortions after 2 months.
6 weeks. Yeah.
Six right. weeks. Essentially around the same time that most women find out they're pregnant.
Yeah. Phil, I just have to ask, do you guys have this much shit about abortion up in your country?
No, not really.
I mean, I know there's an anti-abortion movement up there, but it doesn't appear like they have much traction.
No, they don't.
They also don't have 50 states worth of people that are trying to figure out their own laws.
Yeah.
Yeah. Federalism. Hooray.
It works. Mostly.
Yeah. In other political news, our still current president, Barack Obama, and, you know, as much as I have my problems with him, boy, am I going to miss him after January. President Obama has ordered a full investigation of election-related hacking from Russia.
You know what this is, right?
The Manchurian candidate?
No, this is more like the last grenade you throw in the room. It's like, I'm out. See ya.
Yeah. By the way, so yeah. All right, this is from Politico. Let's see what it says, shall we?
And this has blown up since I put this on here.
Yeah, we got some stuff to add to this after I'm done here.
Yeah, we're in the middle of this stuff starting.
Right now.
Yeah.
Potential constitutional crisis on our hands? Maybe.
Probably.
Okay. In an extraordinary rebuke of the intelligence agencies he will soon lead as a president. Oh, God. Donald Trump broke with his predecessor on Friday and rejected the conclusion that Russia had sought to help him by meddling in the U.S. election. Quote, these are the same people that said Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, end quote, the Trump transition team said in an unsigned press release. The election ended a long time ago in one of the biggest electoral college victories in history. Wrong.
Lies.
It's not. It's now time to move on and, quote, make America great again.
Yeah, those first two sentences are wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Electoral college hasn't even cast votes yet.
It's one of the smallest victories in history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like 42nd out of 56.
And by the way, Hillary beat you in the popular vote by well over 2.5 million votes. So.
Yeah,
I saw rumblings that she might end up having the most votes of any candidate.
Yeah. The Trump team's highly unusual statement came after the White House revealed that President Barack Obama has ordered a quote-unquote deep dive into the cyber attacks that plagued this year's election. And news reports suggested that some agencies had already reached conclusions that Trump might find uncomfortable. Obama has asked the intelligence community to deliver its final report before he leaves office, raising the prospect that agencies may conclude that a foreign power successfully altered the trajectory of the November late election just days after Trump's inauguration. The review will put the spate of hacks, which officials have blamed on Russia, quote, in a greater context by framing them against the, quote, malicious cyber activity that may have occurred around the edges of the 2008 and 2012 president elections. Oh, yeah, that's right. Those also happened.
Yeah.
White House spokesman Eric Schultz said during Friday's briefing. This will be a review that is broad and deep at the same time, he added. The Washington Post reported on Friday evening that the CIA had determined in a secret assessment that the Russian government had interfered in this election, in this year's election, not just to rattle confidence in the system, but specifically to help elect Trump, whose fiery response came just hours later. In an interview days earlier with Time magazine, Trump flatly rejected intelligence agencies' preliminary finding that Russia had hacked Democrats' computers and email systems to influence the election. Quote, I don't believe it. I don't believe they interfered, he said. Asked directly if those conclusions were motivated by partisan politics, he replied, I think so.
Yeah, that official statement his people put out earlier never denied Russian thing.
Yeah. The White House's announcement follows repeated demands from congressional Democrats for more information about the digital assault that destabilized the Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton's campaign through much of the election. Schultz insisted that the review was unrelated to these requests, however. At a Friday morning evening, Lisa Monaco, who is Obama's counterterrorism and homeland security advisor, explained that the country had, quote, crossed into a new threshold. It is incumbent upon us to take stock of that, to review, to conduct some after action, to understand what this means, what has happened, and to impart those lessons learned, she said at a breakfast organized by the Christian Science Monitor. It's not clear how much of the report will be made public or what actions it might lead to, a potential point of irritation for lawmakers who have urged the Obama administration to publicly strike back against Russia and to declassify more information about the election season hacks. Ed Schultz, for his part, vowed to make public as much as we can. Obviously, you can imagine a report like this is going to contain highly, you know, sensitive and even classified information. He added, noting that Congress and relevant stakeholders, such as state election officials, would be briefed on their findings. But Schultz did say the review would not spare any country that has digitally meddled in a U.S. election. In 2008, the campaigns for both Senator John McCain and Obama were bombarded by suspected Chinese hackers, according to U.S. intelligence officials. The digital intruders were reportedly after internal policy papers and the emails of top advisors. And in 2012, Gawker reported that hackers had broken into Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney's personal Hotmail account after correctly answering his backup security question, "What is your favorite pet?" We will be looking at all foreign actors in any attempt to interfere with the elections, Schultz said.
Yeah, it's one of the weird things about security questions is you shouldn't be picking like the
real
easiest
answers.
Ones.
Yeah. Let's see. The Obama administration in early October accused the Russian government of directing a digital campaign to disrupt the U.S. election. As part of this effort, U.S. officials said Moscow-backed hackers infiltrated the DNC, the Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee, and other political organizations. Emails and documents from some of these groups ended up leaking online through WikiLeaks and other suspicious websites and hackers that researchers alleged were fronts for Russian intelligence services.
What a mess.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised that it hasn't happened before.
I think it's happened before, just not to this degree.
Yeah.
Especially now we got the fake news stuff causing people to barge into pizza joints thinking there's a child sex slave ring going on by one of the presidential candidates.
Yeah.
Right. And what's even worse is that already all of the, all of the politicians and pundits are already going into their respective partisan quarters in the ring, which is bullshit because all of us should be concerned about this, no matter what your political beliefs are, because if this is actually true, that means two things. One, it means that all the stuff we've been talking about, Trump, basically being in the pocket of the Russians is true. And he's actually willing to fuck over his own country to do it.
Especially and second when of, his current candidate for Secretary of State is an actual friend of Vladimir Putin.
And second of all, that means is that if this was done willfully in collusion with the Trump campaign, that means members of the Trump campaign are actually guilty of treason.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
God damn.
Third.
Either they're extremely stupid or they're treasonous assholes.
Yeah. But it also, third also means that they found a way to manipulate and undermine your entire election system.
Mm-hmm. That it did.
Yeah, you can't discount how bad that is. So. Yeah.
And you know what's really surprises me is that part alone, I mean, we found out about the Russian hacking months ago, And I have to ask, how was that not front and center of the news this whole time? The fact that that agents of a foreign power actually, you know, actually infiltrated and manipulated our election system.
Yeah, the only time I remember hearing much about it is during the debates when Hillary would bring it up.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I have to guess that if something like that were to happen in Canada, it would probably be big news up there.
Not only would it be big news, but we'd have a do-over.
Yeah.
The whole thing just be redone. Yeah.
Fucking hell. Yeah. I don't really think I got any more I can add to that.
No, me neither.
It's just fucking, and it's fucking insanity.
Yeah.
And
we saw
this
coming.
The Trump campaign, their statement from the Trump campaign, it's just, I don't know. One is know if it's stupid or transparent or both. God damn it.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on to something else. Oh yeah, I remember this.
Yeah, Samsung X7.
Yeah, aka the hand grenade.
Except it doesn't have a pin. It just blows up randomly.
Yeah. So Samsung recently released a firmware update that is going to brick all Note 7s.
There's a caveat.
Which is?
Unless you're on Verizon.
Exactly.
Or you don't
of course.
Verizon is, you know, they're kind of questioning whether they're going to actually push this update.
Yeah.
Because Verizon.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're worried about people losing their ability to use their phone going into the holidays.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like they were supposed to get rid of them months ago.
Yeah. How about, you know, push the firmware update and tell your clients to come in and get a free phone?
Yeah.
That would
be
something that they could also do, but no, that's not what they want to do.
No.
It's not this is the only phone out there that has been banned by a number of carriers, airlines, and all that.
Yeah.
So, you think Samsung's ever going to be able to recover from this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they got other lines they can go to.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to do a Note 8, and people will forget about it.
Pretty quickly.
Yeah. It's like Firestone, you know. Remember, like, they had tires that were disintegrating back in the...
Yeah, they got the Galaxy they can focus on for now.
Yeah.
All right. So, moving on from that,
trailers.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go ahead and, want to go ahead and delete this off of here.
Yeah, just...
All right.
So, yeah.
All right, so we got a span of new movie trailers that came out this week.
Yeah.
Some of them interesting. Some of them kind of mad.
For other reasons.
And some of them just kind of, the fuck?
Yeah.
Yep.
And so first and foremost, just to top it off, because Baywatch.
Yeah, Baywatch, because somebody thought that was going to be a good idea to reboot that.
Yeah, it's got the Rock and Zac Efron, essentially, as the leads.
Mm.
It's kind of like 21 Jump Street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the Horrible Bosses director that's doing that movie.
Mm.
So it kind of looks like it could be okay, but it depends on how it turns out.
Yeah.
If they don't take this thing really seriously and just sort of, you know, mercilessly poke fun at the franchise, it'll probably turn out okay.
Yeah.
It seems to be what the trailer's suggesting.
Yeah. So
just surprised people fucking remember Baywatch.
Well, I mean, how could you forget Pamela Anderson running down the beach?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all that people remember.
I found that weird
show.
Because, honestly, that show wasn't very good at all.
It wasn't good. They were just watching it for Pamela Anderson.
Yeah. Well, it worked.
Yeah.
Because apparently her tits alone managed to convince people to keep watching.
Yeah.
That was a weird era of television.
Yeah.
Back in the early 90s.
Yeah. It's that it is one of just the epitome of 90s TV.
Yeah.
It really is. Cuz it came out right upon that weird point when it was technically the early 90s, but we were still kind of stuck in the 80s.
Yep.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, even the fucking theme song is, like, something straight out of like 1988.
Yeah.
But
Yeah, it's
yeah.
like a show that's ridiculous, but it takes itself seriously as like a drama.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. So moving on from that, we got the trailer for the second Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Yes. Yes, so much yes.
And Baby Groot is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Little Groot is hilarious.
I am
It's
Groot.
like, yeah. It's like we don't even know what the hell is going on. Like what the big who the big bad is, what's going on. I don't care. It's like I'm seeing Star Lord, I'm seeing Groot, seeing Rocket, Drax being an idiot. It's
I see what's her name sort of reading Star Lord's aura or what it was like, you have feelings. It's like, yes, sexual feelings. Well, no, wait, for her, what? In warning to Zoe Saldana. And Drax is like, ha
Do me
ha.
next.
Yeah, do me next. It's like, no, I can yeah.
That role's perfect for Batista because he can't act.
Yeah.
That role doesn't require him to act.
Nope.
Yeah. That was a bit of genius casting on their part. Obviously that first movie was amazing. I mean it was that is a movie show how a movie doesn't have to have a really, big cerebral plot or anything. Just spectacle alone and a good sense of humor. Plus you had just you had James Gunn as the director. And see
He put a
James Gunn,
trauma director on that movie.
yeah, they and which is if you think about it, it makes perfect sense.
It's also crazy. We're going to give this movie that's going to make $1 billion to a guy that worked on trauma.
Yeah. Well, in his defense, I mean, he worked on some classic trauma films, so
But it's like a
and
whole order of magnitude way above what he's used to.
Yeah.
But he did a great job.
Yeah. Just his whole quirkiness made works for that movie. And I mean, and the thing is, they took one of the kind of the more minor teams in the Marvel Universe. I mean, obviously, if you're a comic book fan, you know who the Guardians of the Galaxy are, because they had a really great series back in 2010, 2011. But outside of it, you wouldn't really know. And remember when that trailer first showed up, and a lot of people just did not know what to make of it.
What
I
does
mean,
this
people were.
Marvel movie think it thinks about it being a funny thing?
Yeah, and
Fuck
the
that
thing was
movie.
that there was a lot of people thinking when that trailer first came out, thinking this is gonna be what finally, burst Marvel's bubble.
Nope, it missed.
Wrong.
So wrong.
Nope. It became a global international smash. And now people really love a big giant tree person and a talking raccoon.
Now a little tree person.
I wonder if he's
Yeah.
going to be like Big Groot by the time the movie's over, or if he's just going to be Little Groot the entire movie.
That could be
He's
like the
probably going to
stinger at
be.
the end.
Yeah. Yeah, that whole thing with them and the bomb. He's like, I am Groot. No, you don't push that button. Oh, God. Okay. So then we got the trailer for yet another remake of The Mummy.
I'll pass.
Yeah, except this one is supposed to be the first installment in a Universal sort of Universal Monster Universe type thing. Basically, they're trying to take all of the big Universal monster films, so Dracula, Frankenstein,
King Kong.
Wolfman, Mummy, and turn that into sort of a shared universe type thing because hey, it worked with Marvel.
This is
Yeah.
Tom Cruise's The Mummy. It
So.
doesn't seem to have anything good going on.
No.
Yeah.
It's like, no, this is a Tom Cruise movie. He does crazy stunts,
He is
and
crazy.
somehow,
Yeah.
doesn't really, I don't really understand what's going on really
No.
at the end of this trailer.
Yeah.
It's like there's this it's a coffin with the mummy in it, and somehow that curses the plane that's carrying it. Bats or birds or whatever just crashes through the front of it, causes the plane to crash, and Tom Cruise goes down with it
Yeah.
and comes back to life, and the coffin's still there in the crash, and then that's the end of it. Well,
Yeah.
then there's like a half-naked woman, and she's gonna kill people.
Yeah. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but planes of that size, typically their windows are rated for bird strikes. So,
One bird or hundreds of birds?
well, if it could take one, they should be able to take a few more. They're not gonna usually break
Yeah, it's like a
that easily.
plague of birds coming at it. I don't know.
Anyways, yeah. The next one is kinda, sorta, maybe could be good. Maybe.
Yeah, the new Spider-Man movie.
Yeah,
They're
Homecoming. Fresh.
basically rebooting the whole thing again.
Yeah, fresh off of the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Now with no origin story.
Yay.
Because you already know it.
Yeah. Let's not
Right.
rehash that all over
From the
again.
last two times they try to tell you the origin story.
Yeah. So there's that, and then finally we have War for the Planet of the Apes.
Another Planet of the Apes movie.
Actually looks really good. I'm
Yeah.
looking forward to that.
Well, this is the newer
Yeah.
Yeah,
Apes
well, Andy
series.
Serkis in
They've done a
it.
great job with this new
Yeah.
couple of movies.
I don't have any problems with this one. I mean, yeah, Andy Serkis has been just phenomenally good. Yeah. If he's in this
Yeah, and it's
one,
got
then cool.
who what's his name? The guy from Cheers, the guy who never ages.
Oh.
No.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I'm just
Yeah,
having trouble.
he's like the lead human guy in this movie. He's shaving his head. It's looking really good. The other cool thing about the Spider-Man that we skipped over is that it features the Vulture as the main villain.
Oh.
It's just sort of a surprise that they're not going towards any of the mainstays.
Yeah. Well, I've already done most of the big ones, so.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the new Spider-Man.
Yeah.
They can go back to all of them. They're going towards this one, so that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. All
And it's not
right.
like any of the old Vultures.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah,
It's like some new dude, so that's cool.
yeah. Some pretty good trailers here.
Yeah.
All right. All right, then. Well, to wrap up this episode of Let's Weekend, I thought we'd just sort of go back into the past a bit. So me, Phil, and Chris, and of course a lot of the other guys at Smash Pad, so Dan Reb, Patrick, Lee, we all grew up when the internet was sort of new. When we all grew up and came of age around the time when the internet first went public and became something that regular people could work with. That didn't happen until around, I think it was 1995.
Yeah, around 1995. Start.
Yeah. And suddenly everybody could get online.
Thanks to AOL.
Yes. You couldn't ignore it because their fucking little disc were in every goddamn magazine that came in your mailbox.
Yep.
So we've talked a bit in the past about what it was like with old internet, but I wanted to focus on one thing in particular because it's really difficult to sort of explain to younger folks, because we now have like two generations of youth now who have grown up where, DSL and Wi-Fi was the norm.
Yeah, we had cable in the early 2000s, and now we're in the era of Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
That wasn't it for us. We 100% worked with dial-up. And yeah, it's really funny because one of the things about living with dial-up that I've realized is that it's given me a little bit more patience when it comes to things loading on the internet. Because patience was kind of key.
Yeah.
So just quick description of what dial-up was, and basically how it worked. So obviously today, most computers work with wireless internet. Usually what happens is that you'll have your gateway in your house somewhere. And that's hooked up to your Ethernet cable and sends out the signal. And just whatever computer is nearby that, can pick up Wi-Fi or any other device, picks it up and voila, you're on the internet. Easy as that.
Yeah.
Not so with dial-up. Oh, there was just a shit ton of stuff that had to do with dial-up. So, first and foremost, you needed a landline.
Yes. Actual phone line.
Yes, an actual honest to God phone line, not a cellular phone line or anything like that. It was a phone line. You had to take a cord, an actual cord, that hopefully was long enough to get to the closest phone jack, working phone jack,
Yeah.
because I remember with mine, it went from where our computer room was. All about halfway across the living room. That was fun.
Yeah.
Then that K one of those cables had to then hook up to a modem.
Yeah.
What was a modem? It was this weird little plastic square rectangular thing that broke really, really easily.
Made lots of noises.
Yeah.
Yes, and then that you plugged one end of the phone line into it. Then you had another cable that you had to put into the other side. That one then had to be plugged into your hard drive
The computer.
or your tower or whatever. And then after that, you're thinking, oh, so I'm on the internet now, right?
That helps.
No. Then you had to go on your computer, wait for it to start up, and you had to go and you had to sign on. And that, first of all, you had to remember your password. You had to remember the address, and you had to put it in. And then all of a sudden, you heard what kind of sounded like what would happen if R2-D2 and a Cylon did anal?
Okay, never heard it described like that before, but
That noise.
Yep.
And, good luck if you were trying to get online while your parents were asleep. Because doesn't matter how low you had the volume, that sound, for whatever reason, had a way of reverberating all throughout the house. And you're
Well,
like,
yeah, I
oh,
remember
great.
you very quickly learned the hidden AT commands to turn the speaker off.
Yeah.
Because if you didn't, you wouldn't be surfing porn late at night when you wanted to.
Yeah. And then you're
Because
thinking, oh, great.
what did
Oh,
that?
great. I'm on Google. There was no Google back then.
Nope. Yahoo.
Alta Vista.
Yahoo, Alta Vista,
Netscape.
Netscape, that was
Netscape,
later. Yeah.
Net Zero, all that shit. Oh, there was one other thing. Now, this didn't become as much as a problem after they came up with filters, but. The thing is, you probably noticed, this thing plugged directly into the phone jack. So you have to ask yourself, does that mean my phone line is busy? Why, yes.
Yes, it is.
It's, you could not receive calls.
Yep. So if you were playing Doom, and your parents wanted to make a phone call and picked up the phone, you would get disconnected and your parents would hear.
Exactly. And, of course, then eventually they came out with filters. The problem with the filters, though, is that yes, you could still receive calls, but when the phone rang, it would knock you off of your connection. So, helps with one problem
Doesn't help
and
with
then
the
gives you another.
other.
So, do any of you guys have any like weird Wi-Fi, I mean, weird dial-up stories from your.
I just remember staying at a friend's house overnight, and we would try and get on their computer, which was out in the dining room. Like their little computer desk was between like the dining room and the kitchen. And trying to get on the computer and on the internet in the middle of the night in a big open room without making any noises was a hell of a challenge. I think he would also try and play Doom at night as well. And it's like, okay, this is going to be, you got to do some things to make sure you're not waking people up,
Make sure all the
ruining this whole
doors are
thing.
closed.
This is a big open room. There are no doors.
All right, what about you, Phil?
Well, I worked for an ISP when I was younger. So I had the other end of the experience where I was
Oh,
actually
I need.
getting people connected.
Oh, go. Oh, you got stuff to tell.
So trying to talk, little old ladies and teenagers how to get their computers configured properly, and trying to explain to them what a Winsock was and that you needed to get a Winsock program to be able to actually get the modem to talk to the computer was, interesting to say the least. Usually, what ended up happening is because they were a local ISP, they ended up bringing the computer over, and I'd end up doing that for them. So, that was one interesting, well, fun part of it. The other was logging into the Radius server at the ISP and randomly sending people to different websites that they didn't request. Because I could do
Oh,
that.
gee. Yeah. Oh, that sounds. Oh, the possibilities.
Granted, back then there really wasn't a whole heck of a lot, but hey, it
Yeah.
was kind of fun sending everybody's requests for Microsoft to Yahoo for no apparent
Yeah.
reason. And if people wonder why AOL was so popular, then it helped simplify things a little bit.
Yeah, AOL, it's basically keywords. You figured out what you wanted to do, and there was a keyboard for it, and you'd end up in the right area. So.
Yeah. That's pretty much if you that's another thing from back when we were kids, if anybody was talking about internet stuff, they didn't they used they did they rarely at least until like around 1998, 99, they didn't give you an address. They would just say type in keyword dot, et cetera, et cetera. Because there weren't that many websites there just yet.
On AOL, it was usually like, if you were a fan of the Lakers, you'd type in the keyword LA Lakers and you'd end up at the LA Lakers area on AOL.
Or you go to the NBA chat room.
And then that it of course that ended around 1999, 2000, because then all of a sudden everybody and their mother had a fucking web page.
And forums were around.
Like I would got on the internet when Yahoo was indexing all of the websites. All of them. So, yeah, you could go there pretty much every day and see the new ones that had been added. And yeah, it was an interesting time back then because if you liked gray with a black text, yeah, you had a lot of choice.
Oh yeah.
Sparkle text, sparkle backgrounds.
Well, that didn't come till later.
I just think of like late 90s shitty websites. Got your counters, your guest books.
Shareware download sites before they started installing malware on your computer, because we didn't really know what malware was back then because it didn't exist.
And the whole process of getting pictures and videos was crazy. It's like, oh, you're opening up this image, and it takes an hour to look at your naked ladies.
Yeah, that's the other thing you got to remember about dial-up is that it was fucking slow.
A typical dial-up connection, let's say, back then was 14,400 K. That's to put that into perspective, that's 1.4 kilobytes per second download. Now, your typical image that you get from your phone is typically around 10 megabytes. Just imagine trying to download an image that size back then. It would take you quite a long ass time.
Exactly.
Yeah, especially when the goods were on like the lower half of the image.
It's like you just see it coming in line by line. It's like, hurry up, goddammit.
Oh, there's the face. Oh, it's coming.
Coming. Oh, I see a nipple. And
It's
then, you
not
know,
there.
something happens that fucks with the connection, and then it's just an empty box with an X.
Yeah, even thinking of like the early 2000s, like downloading Dragon Ball Z movies, and they were like 320 by 240 videos.
Real
It's
video
like the
with the
shittiest resolution possible.
Yeah. Or
This
trying
wasn't.
to get us download a song off of Napster,
It's like,
which
oh, it's the Japanese version with fan subs on it.
Oh,
Yeah.
get
Just the most shittiest quality.
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you
Or
can
try.
easily go on the internet and find like full HD with official subs and dubs and all that shit.
Yeah. Trying to download a song on Napster, just one, could take you like an hour.
Yeah. Of course, when Napster came around, people were starting to get cable. So it was
Yeah.
like this kind of like between those two eras. There were people who had a big library of songs and they were on dial-up. So if you were trying to download from them, it was like, oh my God.
And you're still
assuming that the title was the actual thing that you were downloading.
Yeah, Napster trolling was a thing back then.
Like how there's that System of a Down song that's doing the Legend of Zelda song.
Also, he mentioned it, but I'll go ahead and say it again. Trying to download video on dial-up was, oh, that was a pain in the ass.
Especially trying to play it in Windows Media Player.
Or Real Player.
Seriously, imagine you. We've got YouTube now, and obviously, most of us have, wireless internet, and so, downloading a YouTube video is not all that difficult, and usually doesn't take a whole lot of time. Try downloading a YouTube video, even a 10-second one, on dial-up.
If you can get connected to YouTube on dial-up these days, you're not going to have a good time.
Yes, exactly.
Back
And
then, it's like.
the wealth of options we have to actually open up these various media files is huge compared to what we had back then, where it's like you just had Windows Media File or Windows Media Player, maybe Winamp for your music. Like this weird kind of shit, just like one or two options maybe
Either
at
that or
best.
QuickTime.
QuickTime, that was Apple's thing, and
And
Windows
that
Media
used to be where
Player,
you
that
got
was.
trailers at. It's like, nope, it's YouTube only.
Oh, and God help you if whatever website you were going on was image heavy.
You could tell. You know what the trademark of a good web designer was back then, with who used images? He would use graduated load images. Those were the ones that would load basically the structure of the image really, really quickly, and then the rest of it would kind of fill in layers.
I was like, where it came in real low res and just
And then
updated
dot.
itself. Sort of like Unreal, the Unreal Engine does textures.
Kind of.
It's in the low res texture and just keeps coming in.
That's kind of how they did
Or,
that.
oh, and say it was image heavy, and one or two of those images were GIFs.
Oh boy.
Yeah, like the hamster dance site.
Yes, exactly.
Or those lovely under construction animated images.
And then, of course, that was also back in the day when, that you would have autoplay audio without any way of turning it off. Oh yeah,
It
that
was
was
MIDI
in.
back then, so.
Oh yeah, that which made it even worse.
Especially when you have your speakers all the way up.
It's nice and quiet, and it's 3 in the morning. You're trying to get a good glance at, let's just say, Pam Anderson's naked tits, and your parents are in the bedroom down the hall, and everything's nice and quiet, and then you hit the website, and all of a sudden you hear the theme from Bonanza and MIDI.
Or just hear moaning going on real loud.
That was later.
Oh!
Shit, shit, got turned down, turned on.
Happened more than once.
Yeah, so as you probably can guess from us, we're old.
Yes, we're very old.
In modern terms.
Yeah, when getting encyclopedia-style information, you had to get it off of a CD.
Yeah.
Playing like that. Like an Encyclopedia Britannica kind of game.
Yeah.
Like a first-person FMV maze game kind of weird, stupid thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Well, I actually had two of them. One of them was the first person sort of exploration trivia game.
Yeah.
Through the castle.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where all the people are frozen in place.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was also I also had the one with the really high tech telescope where you were trying to find all the various galaxies and constellations. Yeah. That was probably 1997, 1998. Oh, God, yes, that one. Fuck.
Yeah, I forgot. Giant bomb. What was this? It's called a Mind Maze.
Yeah, Mind Maze.
Microsoft Encarta is what it came from.
Oh, we had one.
Players advance through a cursed castle maze, answering questions and move from room to room.
Oh, fucking hell. Yeah.
Entertainment.
Oh, well. Well, I think we got a show.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, and for not having a whole lot of material, we managed to stretch it out to 2 hours. So, yeah. With that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. And for Filippo DiNolfo and Chris Sologi, we'd like to say good night. Get some sleep out there.